Brian Hayes, Mike Johnson in here for the final hour, and Dave Poulin has joined us around the table. And this sets us up beautifully because we've got former player, former executive. Apparently your mic isn't plugged in. Is that true? That's great. That's a good start. Okay. Well, I guess you got to bring someone in here. Come on in, Grappler.
There you go.
No, you don't worry about it, Johnny. You move your mic over and the Grappler will come in because he wants TV time.
All right. Anything get him on TSN TV.
Too. Go ahead, Grappler. Here he is, the world famous Keith Ballard.
Keith Ballard. My old teammate, Keith Ballard.
Ballard.
Yes.
The guy who cut off Thomas Volkoon's ear.
Yeah.
He was so frustrated against Gortegetz when he was in Florida. He tried to slash his stick on the post and clip. It was Thomas Volkoon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Thomas Volkoon.
And clipped his ear off. I sent him a text right like, Bally.
What do you do?
It's a bad look, man.
My mic is on now, and it's hoops talk. MJ's talking hoops.
Right. Well, we want you talking hoops, because this is what I was trying to set up until someone said, your mic isn't even on, so
we've got That's Basketball at 7 o'clock with Gino Retta.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm waiting my whole media career to talk basketball.
Well,
finally.
Here, I'm looking up on TV right now. I guess Wojnarowski is reporting that the Leonard met with the Lakers and the Clippers this week.
Okay, that's
great. Thanks, man.
Not that current.
Yeah, thank you. What's up today? Because Kawhi is
in
town.
And he says Leonard will give the Raptors the final presentation,
that's
which apparently
news,
is this. But that was agreed upon a week ago.
We've known that for a long time. Anyway, what I was trying to set up was, you know, the different dynamics in the room. The fact that you were a former executive yourself. So if you are in that room, if you're Masai Ujiri, if you're Bobby Webster, and this guy's flying up on your plane, you got to be feeling confident, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, no question. He's not leaving without signing.
You feel like you are not letting him leave that room
I'm
until
not
the contract's
him.
Done.
I'm Masai. Masai is one of the more convincing people you'd ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really is. He's charming. He's charismatic. He's very inclusive. It's very much about we with Masai. And I remember the first day I met him. I mean, our offices were, you know, right up on the same floor. You saw him a lot. Bobby Webster was a young assistant at that time. And he's a special guy. You meet some special guys. He's a special guy. He's very, very unique in the way he does business and the way he connects with his players. And he's going to get this done.
You are confident.
I'm confident.
In the context of a sales pitch, because sadly, I don't know if I ever got one quite to this level. What would... So this is a player returning. What would they possibly offer him as far as new information, perhaps organizational plan, like if you sign for 4 or 5 years, this is where we see ourselves going, this is how we're going to build. Beyond that, what are you telling them?
I think it'd be very conversational. You're not talking PowerPoint here. You're not. It's very conversational, and you're going over all the positives. You're taking them back to when he signed here, the risk that you took, and the faith that you showed in a player who'd played 9 games the year before when he was self-load managed. There's a difference between self-load managed and team load managed, okay? And I love the term load management. It's part of lexicon now.
Yeah.
It's lexicon now.
It's in there.
Every time I have a nap at home, load management.
It's all load management.
It is, what you got to do.
That's right.
But I think you're just reviewing why you're sitting where you're sitting today and the success you've had together, because once again, Masai is very, very inclusive. And what you can do now moving forward. I mean, now you've done the hardest part.
Right.
And now what can you do? And, you know, and you are going to include him, and you got to be careful here, but you're going to include him in his thoughts on...
What do you need? Where to go?
What do you need? What would be the best type of player you need for the Raptors?
See, that is interesting, because that would indicate there is a pitch to be made.
Yeah.
Which I think you're right, Pooley.
Where were we short?
Well, but here's even where I'm going with this. Because, you know, the pitch has been made for 12 months. You know who we are. You know what we're all about. You've played on the court. You've lived in the city. You've been to the restaurants. You've got a corner store. You know the guys that are coming back. It's all the same team. But the belief has been, okay, you're selling him on one more year. But the pitch might be, hey, let's do this for a 5-year deal. Mm-hmm. Like, that might be the pitch. Is the difference between give us one more year with the exact same team that we've been playing with, and you know who they are, but maybe we can stretch this into 2 years or 3 or 4 or 5 when Kyle is going to have to leave. and Ibaka's term is going to be up, and Gasol is going to retire and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 years down the road, we see you, Siakam, and Giannis coming here as a free agent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a pitch. That's not just saying, hey, you know what we're all about, so
let's back together, let's hang out.
You know what? That's a pitch about the future.
Right. Yeah, this is a different guy.
That's getting cocky and arrogant, but why not? Go for it. You've got the opportunity.
Clearly, this is a different guy. I mean, this is an artist at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's a Van Gogh or a Picasso or whatever he is on a relative basketball term, does he want to create something really special and be a part of the creation of it? Because he's already started the painting. I mean, let's face it.
Do you think athletes, quite seriously, you're about as bright as an athlete as we can come across, think on those terms? Think at that level.
This guy's different.
Maybe guys of his talent.
This guy's uniquely different. This guy's different. And you know, and I've said this a few times on air since. I think we throw the term superstar away around way too liberally. I think we deem that people are superstars when they're good players.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a superstar. We throw generational player around way too much. Because if there's one every year, that's actually called an annual player. It's not called generation. And we throw these terms around, and then you see a player like Kawhi come in and do what he's done and make everybody on the court better every time he's on the court. And you're hard-pressed to think of a hockey player, because it's a different sport and it's hard to make comparisons, but there aren't many guys that make every single player on the ice better every time they're on the ice. Right. And this guy seems to do that. I mean, it's really remarkable.
Well, when you consider the past calendar year, you know, the Leafs were in on Tavares and they ended up landing John Tavares. The next year, the team he left went further in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that happening this time around. If Kawhi goes to the Lakers, I think it's a pretty safe bet the Lakers are going to go deeper into the playoffs and be a better team than the Raptors.
Yeah.
Where, like, Tavares just couldn't have the same impact. It's apples and oranges.
From a challenge standpoint, that wouldn't appeal to me. Just what I've watched with this guy and the challenges he's accepted and what he's done and the San Antonio piece of it, could the Lakers be any more anti-San Antonio?
Yeah.
I mean, really, in the way they did things? And he can say what he wants about his departure from San Antonio, but his nurturing there and watching it being done right there, that's part of his championship fiber.
The lure of playing, of living where you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think everyone would say, if he could plunk the Raptor organization and drop them into California somewhere, he would play for the Raptors.
Yes.
Like, that's not a decision to be made. You can put him in anywhere in California, he'd just take that. But how do you convince a guy, how do you fight the urge to go to where he's from? I mean, he's, and you can't blame a guy for wanting to go home and be around his family or his friends or any of those things. How do you pitch against that? Because you have no answer for it.
Okay, here's exactly what
Except
I would say.
Except here's our plane. It was nice.
Yeah.
Anytime you want it, it's yours.
Here's exactly what I would say to him on that front. We're talking about, and Brian, you mentioned a 2 to 3 year window. So say we're talking about a 2 to 3 year window where you're going to play your job at the highest level in Toronto with the Raptors. This isn't where you're going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to play where you're going to retire? Because from that standpoint, if he loves his anonymity as much as we think he does, play here, be a legend in Canada, be a legend in
Toronto. It's such a good point, though. Because if you get established back in L.A. or whatever.
And then go home to San Diego, no one will quite know everything you did. And you will lead the rest of your life in peace and quiet and happiness.
Well, and that's all he's ever known, too, in the NBA, is playing outside of California. Like, he knows what it's like to play away from home, and it's worked for him pretty well.
That's where he wants to retire. That's a reason not to play there.
Well, and that's where he will retire, right?
It's a very good point.
And it's not like that.
And it's not like he's like, well, if I played there, I could maybe get some post-career endorsement opportunity. I'm like, in your $300 million, you should be just fine. You don't worry about post-career anything.
And right. No one's going to bother you.
Well, and
that's a good point.
The charismatic.
Let's mark it down. June 3rd.
Cool. Nature of
finally, finally contributed something to the conversation.
But you know, when we're considering what the Raptors have that these other teams don't, it is like Masai Ujiri is a big part of that.
He's huge.
You know, like, because it's not even about bringing the Raptors organization to L.A.
It's about bringing
Masai Ujiri. Like, there's a clip going on that's circulating online where Ujiri was in London recently, and he was asked about Kawhi Leonard and when he first met Leonard after acquiring him. And He said that Leonard asked him two questions. The first one was, you know, are you staying? And the second one was, what are you going to do to make sure that, you know, we get better and that we can win? Something along those lines. But Masai Ujiri's reputation speaks for itself. And whatever he promised Kawhi Leonard, he's clearly followed through on.
In every possible way.
Every possible
way. How many GMs do you even know in the NBA? Like, you don't, it's not like they're prominent. Now, I think Masai Ujiri, I think being a GM and a president in the NBA is a way station for him for wherever he's going in life.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah, he's got bigger aspirations than even that.
He's going to be the president or prime minister somewhere. He really is. I mean, he's that kind of an impactful person. He's still a young man, and to accomplish what he's accomplished already. Yeah. And I just think he's a really special guy, and I think Kawhi knows that. I really do.
So important for the Raptors as an organization in Canada, in Toronto, a bit of an unknown to maybe some of the players, that they have a guy like that, that has that kind of cred around the league running their organization. Because if they just had random guy, random NBA GM.
Or if Masai left.
Or if Masai left.
If Bobby Webster was still running the operation. If Kawhi...
Masai is kind of like a one-name legend.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the guys that get to go by one name?
Yeah, he's, him and Madonna and Sting are hanging out.
There's not many.
And this will be, you know, his biggest accomplishment is he built a championship team. Like, that's why you get into the industry. That's why you
this
are
would
an
be a more unlikely accomplishment almost than even winning a championship.
You think really? So?
Getting him to,
based
I think
on
so.
The acquisition, Giving based on what we understood.
Happened. Yes.
Yes. I think, you know, I said this off the top. I think from a sports experience standpoint, as a Toronto sports fan, winning the championship was, you know, the most thrilling, exhilarating experience. If you re-sign Kawhi Leonard, it's the largest confidence builder as a sports fan.
It could be more impactful than the championship.
It would be so really gratifying. Could. Now, again, until it's done, we don't know. Like, we don't. This is what I think we've learned about Kawhi Leonard.
He walks out from Hazleton Hotel. I was like,
didn't work. Didn't happen.
I'm out.
Not what
Appreciate
I was looking
it.
For. You know, whatever. I mean, listen.
I'm heading home.
Until he tells the Lakers, the Clippers, the Raptors what his decision is.
I thought it was too cold here. It's really hot here.
Oh, it's beautiful out there right now.
Right in his wheelhouse, exactly.
But I kind of feel like what's going to end up happening is, you know, the teams that are out are probably going to get the answer. Like, that's how it's going to leak.
You don't know with this guy again. Once again,
if he's controlled it this far, he's going to control it coming out.
He does. Like, I don't think he's going to a different way. He does.
He will. Yeah, I don't know. You're right, because if he wants to be respectful, he'd tell the other team sorry before it's announced publicly that he's going to wherever he's going.
Do you think the Lakers and Clippers still feel as confident today as they did yesterday?
Depends what he said to them yesterday.
Because he met with them reportedly at some point in the past couple of days.
Yeah, you know what? I owe it to the Raps. Going back up to Toronto tomorrow. We're going to talk to them. Make them a decision on Friday.
And don't read anything into it.
Don't. This is always the plan.
I said I was
always my
go
schedule. It's what I'm doing. I'll talk to you Friday morning.
Right.
And then they would probably feel, you know, that recency bias and the being back in Toronto, all the positivity of that would probably not make them feel great, but they wouldn't be freaking out about it. Like,
the only way they'd be freaking out is if they didn't know he was getting on a plane and going there.
If they didn't know.
If they thought the Raptors were coming to LA to meet him. So if they were on Twitter and they're like, he's on a plane right now on his way to Toronto. There's no way that can be encouraging if you're the Lakers or Clippers.
But each of those two groups, the people involved, Jeannie Buss, Steve Ballmer, they are so confident and so successful the rest of their lives. They think, okay.
It has to work out
for us. The team that went first thought he wasn't even going to look at the other two. The team that went second thought they had the ideal seat because he'd already heard one pitch and theirs was going to be better, and they'd destroy the third. Neither of those two groups even thought it would get to the Raptors.
Steve Ballmer...
I mean, think about Steve Ballmer. Think of what he's done.
He has the potential, though, to clean house if they don't get him. I think.
Well, he already has cleaned house if they don't get him.
Yeah, but no, we're talking Lawrence Frank. You're out of here forever. Jerry West, why did we hire you as a consultant? Like, because this guy, he's pumped billions into ownership. Now, he's going to make that money up because franchise values continue to go up. But this guy, this is such a vanity purchase. He's sitting on the sideline. He's been on the plane, the Clippers plane, flying around North America to recruit Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. He was at the game at Scotiabank. When he was up in, he was at the game when they were in Detroit, I believe. Now, he's from Michigan, but he was there to see Raptors Pistons. He owns the Clippers.
Just by coincidence.
And
he hasn't been said no to very often.
That's what I'm saying. And Kawhi Leonard's not going to say no to him. Kawhi Leonard will say no to Lawrence Frank, and Frank has to go upstairs and say, you know how I told you we were going to get two max players?
We didn't get
We don't have anybody.
We got zero.
That is going to be a problem. I don't see Steve Ballmer handling that very well. I don't see him calming down and just saying, okay, we'll regroup. You know, who's on the...
We'll get him next year.
Who's available next year that maybe we could get after?
It's Kawhi. He's having one in a bonus.
Yeah, right,
one,
exactly.
One in an option.
He could be available next year.
Yeah.
Play it over again.
I like the situation the Raptors are in. I do.
Okay, you feel good about that. What about the position the Maple Leafs are currently in with Mitch Marner still hanging out? Today would be a perfect day for a Mitch Marner offer sheet. Would be interesting how the city would react.
Wag the tail, eh? Get something going in the other direction.
Can you imagine
start a war?
An offer sheet right now? But where do you see all
they're
this
a better,
going?
Well, let's put Marner over to the side
for
a second right now. They're a better team today than they were on July 1st. They're
is
a better team.
Because of Barry or the other pieces?
Redistributing the assets. You know, you've taken the assets you've had and you've redistributed them. And, you know, you've taken a strength at center. And I really like Alex Kerfoot.
Yep.
I really do. I think he's a really talented player.
Not as good as Nas, but he's a good player.
He's not, but he's younger and... He's played behind superstars before, which I think is important. He's played behind McKinnon.
He fits in the right spot on the roster, third line center. He's going to get paid like a third line center when you have a top-heavy lineup.
Now, he was a power play guy in Colorado, too, though.
Yeah.
He's got like almost half his points on the power play in the last in his first 2 years. And you know what's kind of funny, MJ, is you think of this handful of college players who've chosen not to sign with the teams that drafted them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the third one after Vesey and Hayes to be traded.
And bounce around.
Yeah. So Kerfoot was a New Jersey draft pick in the fifth round. And after 4 years at Harvard, he chose not to sign with New Jersey. He was recruited by and signed by Colorado. And then, by the way, 2 years later, see you later. So it's a good lesson for the college free agents that are choosing Jimmy Vesey, Kevin Hayes, guys that...
No guarantees.
Well, the lesson is there's no loyalty in this game.
There's none.
So pick your spot. Don't go to the team that drafted you. Go wherever you want, because as soon as they don't want you, you're out the door anyways. You don't owe them anything. That's the lesson I take out of it.
There you go.
Pro player.
We see it exactly the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think the jury's out on the bottom six.
The defense is better.
The defense is better with Barry.
Well, it's better with Barry.
For sure.
CeCe, I think, is a little bit of a confused hockey player in that when we watched him play junior in his draft years, we actually went into Niagara Falls to watch him play because we wanted to see him play in the tiniest rink we could. And they ran him every chance they got, and he answered it. But he was an offensive player in junior. And then they tried to make him a shutdown guy because they already had Erik Karlsson. And I think he's somewhere between those two. And I think
he's neither.
Exactly. And I think they've just got to make him a player.
Right.
And let him... It seems like he was trying to force defense. He didn't contribute as much offensively. So I think he's got more than he's shown. I think the change is good for him. Ben Harper, I think, is going to play. I think Ben Harper is better than Martin Marincin. And Ben Harper is 6'6". He has the ability to have a mean element, but he doesn't like doing that at all.
No, but he's a good fighter when he decides
he's
to do it.
He's a good fighter when he decides to do it. So he has that, but he just doesn't like that.
No, it's not who he is.
And so I think he could be a 6.
The only concern get ahead of ourselves, but just can CeCe, if CeCe plays with Riley, I don't know if I love those two together, but it sounds like that's how it's going to start. Kyle Dubas mentioned that Muzzin had played with Barry at a World Championships and looked really good together in a very small sample. So before they get going, that's probably where they're going to start it out.
You might see a healthy Dermott play with Riley when everything falls into place.
If everything went best case, it's Riley, Dermott, Muzzin, Barry.
CeCe as a
somebody,
five.
CeCe.
Yeah,
CeCe
that makes sense
five.
To me.
But if you dump CeCe on the first pairing with Riley right away, coming out of the year he's had and the pressure of all this,
asking for trouble,
I think it might be tough.
And particularly 1 year in his contract,
he's playing for a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe they're better on defense. I think they've reworked the bottom six individually. I'm not convinced they're better at all because I think Kadri's better than Kerfoot. I think Marlowe can still play. I just didn't like his contract. And Connor Brown's a good player.
He's a good player.
good players. So those guys are out.
Well, there's some questions. Mikhaev, no one knows.
No one knows.
And I added
Trevor Moore, a full year.
Great contact in the KHL and got an incredibly detailed scouting report. All the hockey stuff was great. And then there was a paragraph that said, but wait a second. The adjustment to the smaller ice surface, the patience they have to show, the language, all these things are going to be a factor with this kid. There's someone that knows him very well. And so,
do they have any other? There are no other Russians on the team.
There aren't.
With Zaitsev gone,
there
right?
aren't.
He was the,
unless that Korshkov kid.
But plays. That's another kid. That's not a veteran.
There's no guy who's been around to kind of bring him under his wing. So that's,
you know what? And playing in Europe, I played there early in my career, and I sat in the locker room when no one spoke English.
Yeah, it's a lonely place.
It is incredibly lonely. And I had a veteran on my team, an American who helped me so much during that time because it was someone else. That when everyone laughed in the locker room, you could look over to him and he'd acknowledge that they weren't laughing at you. Because you don't know. I mean, and all the things about going to get your laundry and going to the dry cleaners and like all that stuff.
Just living.
Going to the drugstore and being intimidated. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And so to ask him to do all that, and they're hoping he can be maybe a top six for Hyman at the start. Ooh, it's a lot.
Yeah, he's going to play. I mean, that sure sounds like that was the pitch. If you come over, you're going to play for us.
Right, I don't mind that third line, though.
You like that?
Mikhaev, Kerfoot, Kapanen?
Kapanen. That can work.
That could work.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it. We have no idea.
Yeah.
Right. I don't mind the pieces on it.
Yeah. Well, and Spezza, Moore, and whoever on the fourth line, that can work as well.
Can we just have the top two lines play 20 minutes? Yeah.
That's what should happen.
And then just chop up the last 20 for the bottom two?
Push the minutes a little bit, MJ.
Yeah.
Half the salary cap.
Well, you start chipping away at your depth to fill other needs. Your best way to fill it.
Let your best players play.
Let the horses run a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Pooley.
Okay,
good
guys.
Seeing you, man.
Good luck on the Kawhi watch.
Oh, we're all over it, buddy.
We're going to take it to...
we're taking it to That's Hockey.
We're
going to break it on That's Hockey at 7. It's going to be fantastic.
Final show of the year.
For That's Hockey
for That's
tonight.
Hockey.
And we're going to do it all basketball.
Gino Retta.
There you go, man.
MJ and I'll be handling the hoops part.
All right, buddy. We'll see you there.
Take care.
Here's Dave Pooley.